Allah says in Ayah number 6, O you who have believed, when you rise to perform prayer, wash your faces and your forearms to the elbows, and wipe over your heads and wash your feet to the ankles. This is the obligatory minimum wudu. Again, washing the face completely once, which includes rinsing the mouth and nose. 2. Washing the arms up to the elbows once. 3. Wiping the entire head, including the ears. 4. Washing the feet up to the ankles once. What is meant by once in all of this is that the entire part of the body mentioned must be washed thoroughly. It must be done in order, so one washes the face first, then the arms, then wipes the head, then washes the feet, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did wudu in this order. This also must be done continuously, meaning the parts of the body must be washed one after the other with no lengthy interruption between washing one part and the next. What are the mustahab or recommended parts of the wudu? These are narrated in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the first one is that you must have the intention of purifying yourself and removing impurity. The intention should not be spoken out loud, for its place is in the heart. And this actually applies to all acts of worship. You should say Bismillah, then you should wash your hands 3 times, then you should rinse your mouth 3 times, swirling the water inside your mouth, and rinse your nose 3 times, blowing the water out, and using the left hand to remove the water from your nose. You should wash your face 3 times, from the hairline to the jawbone and chin, and from ear to ear. A man should wash the hair of his beard because it's part of his face. If the beard is thin, he has to wash it inside and out. And if it is thick and covers the skin, he should wash the surface of it only and run his wet fingers through it. Then you should wash your arms up to the elbows 3 times. The arm extends from the fingertips, including the nails, to the lower part of the upper arm. It is essential to remove anything stuck to the hands before washing them, such as dough, mud, paint, etc. Then after that, you should wipe your head and ears once with fresh water, not the water left over from washing your arms. The way in which the head is to be wiped is that you put your wet hands at the front of your head and bring them back to the back of your head. Then bring them back to the place where you started. So back and back to the front. Then put your index fingers in your ears and wipe the back of the ears with your thumbs. As far as a woman's hair is concerned, she should wipe it, whether it is loose or braided, from the front of her head to the roots of her hair at the nape of her neck, but she does not have to wipe the entire length of her hair. Then you should wash your feet 3 times up to the ankles, namely the bones at the bottom of the leg. The evidence for that is the hadith narrated by Humran, the freed slave of Uthman radiallahu anhu, who said that Uthman radiallahu anhu called for water to do wudu. He washed his hands 3 times, then he rinsed his mouth and nose, then he washed his face 3 times, then he washed his right arm up to the elbow 3 times, then he washed his left arm likewise. Then he wiped his head, then he washed his right foot up to the ankle 3 times, then he washed his left foot likewise. Then he said, I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing wudu as I have done it. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever does wudu as I have done it, then prays 2 rak'ah, in which he focuses completely on his prayer, his previous sins will be forgiven. Narrated by Muslim. It is also recommended to say after completing wudu, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu rasulu. I bear witness that there is no God except Allah, alone with no partner or associate, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "There is no one among you who does wudu and does it properly and does it well." Then he says, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu rasuluhu." But the gates of paradise will be open to him and he may enter through whichever of them he wishes. Narrated by Muslim. What breaks the wudu? Number one, answering the call of nature, whether it is urinating or passing the stool, passing gas so that one can hear the sound or smell, falling asleep while reclining against something, or spotting in between periods for women. So if a woman is menstruating and has completed her cycle, but during the month she also has some spotting, she must renew her wudu for every salah. Next, Allah states, "And if you are in a state of janaba, then purify yourself." What is janaba? Meaning that a person has had sexual intercourse or has a wet dream with ejaculation. How did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do ghusl? It is narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did ghusl for janaba or sexual impurity, he would wash his hands and do wudu as for prayer. Then he would wash himself, meaning private parts. Then he would run his fingers through his hair. Then, when he thought that it, meaning the water, had reached his skin, he would pour water over it, meaning the head, 3 times. Then he would wash the rest of his body. Narrated by Bukhari and Muslim. So the first step is to form an intention in the heart to purify oneself from major impurity, janaba, or periods, menses, or nifas, postpartum bleeding. Then say Bismillah and wash the hand 3 times. Then wash any dirt from the private part. Then do wudu, ask for prayer, and complete wudu, except for washing the feet. Then pour water over the head 3 times and rub the hair so the water reaches the roots of the hair. Then wash the body, making sure that the water reaches all parts, starting with the right side of the body and then the left, and rubbing it with the hands so that the water reaches the entire body. At the end, step away and wash the feet. One of the important rulings concerning this matter is that the bath, ghusl, is for major impurity and takes the place of wudu. So the person who has done ghusl or the bath, whether the complete or acceptable form, does not have to repeat wudu unless he does something that invalidates purity while doing ghusl. In a state of ritual impurity or sexual impurity, a person can still do the dhikr of Allah. The only thing that the Prophet ﷺ would not do was read the Quran or pray salah. A person can also reply to the salam of another while in a state of sexual impurity without yet having done ghusl. If a person has the intention to fast and they are in a state of sexual impurity and the adhan of fajr is being recited, he or she should make his or her intention while in a state of sexual impurity. Then after the adhan, the person can do ghusl and then pray salah and continue with their fast. Next, in the same ayah, Allah says, "But if you are ill or on a journey, or one of you comes from the place of relieving himself, or you have contacted women, meaning had a sexual relationship with them, and do not find water, then seek clean earth and wipe over your faces and hands with it." How does this work? The ritual of tayammum or dry wudu is very simple. A person begins with Bismillah, rubs his hands on dry clean earth once, rubs both his hands once up to the wrists, then rubs his face once from the hairline to the chin and from ear to ear, and that is tayammum. Tayammum takes the place of wudu and ghusl under certain circumstances. If water is really hard to find or there is just enough water for drinking, tayammum is not allowed when water is available, even though it would be a hardship. For example, in public places. Allah ends this ayah by saying, Allah does not intend to make difficulty for you, but He intends to purify you and complete His favor upon you that you may be grateful. So instead of feeling that all of this is a hardship, in actuality, this is a relief from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, purity is half of faith. At-tuhuru shatrul iman. Purity is half of faith. And alhamdulillah fills the mizan, meaning the scale. And subhanallah and Allahu Akbar fill what is between the heaven and the earth. As-sawm, the fast, is a shield. Sabr, patience, is a light. Sadaqah, charity, is evidence of faith. And the Quran is proof for or against you. Every person goes out in the morning and ends up selling himself. He either frees his soul or destroys it. This is from Sahih Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, when the Muslim or the believing servant performs wudu and washes his face, every sin that he looked at with his eyes will depart from his face with the water or with the last drop of water. When he washes his hands, every sin that his hands committed will depart from his hands with the water or with the last drop of water. When he washes his feet, every sin to which his feet took him will depart with the water or with the last drop of water until he ends up sinless. Alhamdulillah. May Allah make us of those. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah says in the next ayah, وَاسْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. And remember the favor of Allah upon you and His covenant with which He bound you when you said, we hear and we obey. سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. Fear Allah. Indeed, Allah is knowing of that within the breasts. O you who have believed, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ لِلَّهِ شُهَدَاءَ بِالْقِسْطِ. O you who have believed, be persistently standing firm for Allah, witnesses in justice, and do not let the hatred of a people prevent you from being just. Allah mentions it again. Allah has stressed that we must stand up for justice no matter what, even if it is against ourselves, and we must stand up for justice even if we hate people or if we love people. Allah orders us, be just, that is nearer to righteousness, and fear Allah, indeed Allah is acquainted with what you do. According to a narration in Bukhari and Muslim, Numan bin Bashir's father wanted to give him a gift, but his mother objected until Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam approved. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked whether the father was giving the same gift to all the children. He said no. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, fear Allah and be just between your children. I will not be a witness to zulm, oppression. Allah says, Allah has promised those who believe and do righteous deeds that for them there is forgiveness and great reward. But those who disbelieve and deny our signs, those are the companions of hellfire. O you who have believed, remember the favor of Allah upon you when a people determined to extend their hands in aggression against you, but He withheld their hands from you. And fear Allah, wattaqullaha, and upon Allah let the believers rely. One of the narrations as a background to this ayah says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was resting under a tree upon returning from a journey. His sword was hanging up on it. A Bedouin grabbed it and held it against him, meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's neck, and said, who will save you now? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, Allah. The sword fell from his hands. Allahu Akbar. وَلَقَدْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. And Allah had already taken a covenant from the children of Israel, and we delegated from among them 12 leaders. And Allah said, I am with you. If you establish prayer and give zakah and believe in my messengers and support them and loan Allah a goodly loan, I will surely remove from you your misdeeds and admit you to gardens beneath which rivers flow. But whoever of you disbelieves after that has certainly strayed from the soundness of the way. What does it mean to lend Allah a goodly loan? Meaning to spend in the cause of Allah seeking His reward. Why is it alone? Why is Allah? Why has Allah called it alone? Because when we give a loan to someone, we expect it to be returned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will return it manifold. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will invest it, increase it for us, and return it to us. Much bigger, much more than what we invested. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So for their breaking of the covenant, we cursed them, Allah says, and made their hearts hard. Why? He says, they distort words from their proper places, meaning usages. They make fun of the orders of the prophets, Allah says, and have forgotten a portion of that which they were reminded. Two things. Number one, they distort the words of Allah from their proper places. They make fun of the prophets, subhanallah. And number two, they have forgotten a portion of that which they were reminded. Are we not guilty of that as well? As Muslims, do we remember all of the Quran? Do we disregard any part of the Quran? Do we believe in some of the Quran and not other parts? Allah says, and you will still observe deceit among them, except a few of them, but pardon them and overlook their misdeeds. Why? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Indeed, Allah loves the doers of good. Do not have animosity in your hearts toward anyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, just pardon and overlook and be patient, because this is ihsan. Doesn't Allah do that to us? Even though we disregard some of His rulings, subhanallah, may Allah forgive us, ameen. Allah pardons and overlooks many of our mistakes, and He wants us to reflect that in our behavior to others. Allah says, and from those who say we are Christians, we took their covenant, but they forgot a portion of that which they were reminded. Same issue. The Christians also forgot some of what they were given, the Book of Allah. So Allah says, so we caused among them animosity and hatred until the day of resurrection. Again, why? Because they forgot some of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed. When we forget the Quran, when we ignore the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes us in this dunya by creating disunity and disharmony and hostility, and we break up into sects and groups and we work against each other. Subhanallah, this is an outcome of our own choices. Allah says, and Allah is going to inform them about what they used to do. Ya Ahl al-Kitabi, O people of the scripture, there has come to you our messenger, making clear to you much of what you used to conceal of the scripture, and overlooking much. There has come to you from Allah a light and a clear book, by which Allah guides those who pursue His pleasure to the ways of peace. يَهْدِ بِهِ اللَّهُ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ رِضْوَانَهُ سُبُلَ السَّلَامِ. So if we want to walk on the paths of peace, we have to pursue His pleasure. Pursue His pleasure. What a beautiful phrase. Allah says, by which Allah guides those, meaning with the Quran, with this nur, those who pursue His pleasure to the ways of peace, and brings them out from darknesses into the light by His permission, and guides them to a straight path. This is the reason why the Quran is here. This is the reason why it is integral to our lives. This is the only way we can walk upon the path of Allah that takes us to Allah. May Allah make us of those. Ameen. They have certainly disbelieved who say that Allah is Christ, the Son of Mary. Say, then who could prevent Allah at all if He had intended to destroy Christ, the Son of Mary, or His mother, or everyone on earth? Remember when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not say three, meaning the Trinity, desist. What is the Trinity? The sign of the cross, where the Christians believe that there are three parts to God, the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. Allah is not three in one. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah is not Christ. Subhanallah. Allah makes a very clear statement here. Allah says, then who could prevent Allah at all if he had intended to destroy Christ, the son of Mary, or his mother, or everyone on the earth? And to Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth, and whatever is between them. He creates what he wills, and Allah is over all things competent. But the Jews and the Christians say, we are the children of Allah and his beloved. Say, then why does he punish you for your sins? Meaning, why does hardship come to you in this dunya, in this earth, in this life? Rather, you are human beings from among those he has created, one of many, Allah says. He says he forgives whom he wills, and he punishes whom he wills. And to Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth, and whatever is between them, and to him is the final destination. Allah says over and over again to clarify, to drill this into us, that everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then that we should only be afraid of him. Ya Ahl al-Kitabi, O people of the scripture, there has come to you our messenger, meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to make clear to you the religion after a period of suspension of messengers, lest you say, there came not to us any bringer of good news or a warner. But there has come to you a bringer of good news and a warner, and Allah is over all things competent. In Suratul Mulk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the people who will be in hellfire will say to the angel guarding hellfire, take us out of here. The angel, whose name is Malik, will say, did not a warner come to you? They will say, yes, he did come to us, but we did not listen. If we had only listened and if we had understood, we would not be companions of the fire. And mention, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Moses said to his people, O my people, remember the favor of Allah upon you when he appointed among you prophets and made you possessors, meaning of all that you need. You had homes, wives, servants, sovereigns, you became independent and had authority over others. Allah says he made you possessors and gave you that which he had not given anyone among the worlds. What was that? Allah had made them the chosen people. That was their special gift. And when Musa alayhi salam said to them, O my people, enter the holy land, meaning Palestine, which Allah has assigned to you, and do not turn back from fighting in Allah's cause, and thus become losers. They said, the Bani Israel, O Moses, indeed within it is a people of tyrannical strength, and indeed we will never enter it until they leave it, but if they leave it, then we will enter. Said two men from those who feared to disobey upon whom Allah had bestowed favor. Note, Allah says, two people who feared to disobey Allah were the ones upon whom Allah had bestowed favor. So the favor of Allah is that a person fears to disobey him. What did the two men say? Enter upon them through the gate, for when you have entered it, you will be predominant, you will overcome them. And they said, and upon Allah rely, if you should be believers. They, the Bani Israel, said, O Moses, indeed we will not enter it ever, as long as they are within it. So go, you and your Lord, and fight. Indeed we are here remaining. Subhanallah. They spoke to Musa alayhi salam as if he was their servant. Na'uzubillah. Moses said, my Lord, indeed I do not possess, meaning control, except over myself and my brother. So part us from the defiantly disobedient people. Al-Fasiqeen. Musa alayhi salam himself called his own ummah, his entire ummah, Al-Fasiqeen. He said, I only have control over myself or my brother. And this nation was completely out of control. Allah said, then indeed it is forbidden to them for 40 years in which they will wander throughout the land. So do not grieve over the defiantly disobedient people. Allah concurs and calls them al-fasiqeen. Their punishment was that they wandered about outside of Jerusalem and Palestine for 40 years. They could not enter it, no matter how hard they tried. This was a punishment of Allah. Finally, after 40 years, under Yusha bin Nun, they conquered Jerusalem. Allah says, to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to recite to them the story of Adam's two sons. And recite to them the story of Adam's two sons in truth, when they both offered a sacrifice to Allah, and it was accepted from one of them, but was not accepted from the other. Said the latter, I will surely kill you, meaning the one, the brother, whose sacrifice was not accepted by Allah. How did they know that? Because in those times, a fire would come down from the sky and consume the sacrifice of the one whose sacrifice was accepted. So when the other one saw that his had not been accepted, he became jealous and angry, and he threatened to kill his brother and said, I will surely kill you. Said the former, indeed, Allah only accepts from the righteous who fear him. If you should raise your hand against me to kill me, I shall not raise my hand against you to kill you. Indeed, I fear Allah, Lord of the worlds. Indeed, I want you to obtain thereby my sin and your sin, so you will be among the companions of the fire, and that is a recompense of wrongdoers. So Adam alayhi salam's son understood deen, understood religion. The other one was practicing the rituals, but he did not really understand religion. Allah says, and his soul permitted to him the murder of his brother. So one brother, the jealous brother, killed the pious one. So he killed him and became among the losers. Then Allah set a crow searching, meaning scratching, in the ground to show him how to hide the disgrace, meaning body, of his brother. He said, oh, woe to me. That's when he realized. He said, have I failed to be like this crow and hide the body of my brother, the disgrace of my brother? And he became of the regretful. He was regretful after that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the Bani Israel, and he is saying that remember the story of Adam and his two sons. One was jealous of the other, and the one who killed the pious one was the one who was regretful, and he carried his sin and the sin of his brother as well. So in this is a lesson for the Bani Israel. The ummas, the different ummas, are like brothers. The prophets are like brothers to each other. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. So one brother should not find fault with the other brother, simply because the Muslims now have the scripture and their prophet came from the Arabs. It should not stop the Bani Israel from believing, because they know that this is the true religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because of that, we decreed upon the children of Israel that whoever kills a soul, unless for a soul, meaning because of justice, or for corruption done in the land, it is as if he had slain mankind entirely. And whoever saves one, meaning saves a life, it is as if he had saved mankind entirely. And our messengers had certainly come to them with clear proofs. Then indeed many of them, even after that, throughout the land, were transgressors. Surely the penalty for those who wage war against Allah and His Messenger and strive upon earth to cause corruption is none but that they be killed or crucified, or that their hands and feet be cut off from opposite sides, or that they be exiled from the land. Subhanallah, this is a repercussion of causing fitna, causing trial within land. This is a repercussion of opposing Allah and His Messenger. And Allah specifically says, strive upon earth to cause corruption, meaning killing people, planting bombs, destroying buildings, destroying masajid or churches or temples. Subhanallah, this is corruption, ruining the peace of society, spreading fear and insecurity. The punishment for that is truly great. Allah says that is for them a disgrace in this world, and for them in the hereafter is a great punishment. Except for those who return, repenting before you, overcome, meaning apprehend them, and know that Allah is forgiving and merciful. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu taqullaha wabtahu ilayhi alwasilata wajahidu fi sabilihi la'allakum tuflihun. O you who have believed, fear Allah, have taqwa of Allah, be cautious of Allah, and seek the means of nearness to Him, al-wasila, and strive in His cause that you may succeed. What is al-wasila? Al-wasila is the way, the path. Find the path to Him. Seek the pleasure of Allah. Look for the things, the actions that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every good deed is a wasila. And that is the way to true success. Indeed, those who disbelieve, if they should have all that is in the earth and the like of it with it, by which to ransom themselves from the punishment of the day of resurrection, it will not be accepted from them, and for them is a painful punishment. They will wish to get out of the fire, but never are they to emerge therefrom, and for them is an enduring punishment. As for the thief, the male and the female amputate their hands in recompense for what they earned, meaning committed, as a deterrent punishment from Allah, and Allah is exalted in might and wise, meaning that Allah's punishment could have been greater, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wise by ordering this retribution on earth. Allah wants society to be secure and peaceful, because prosperity can only be achieved if there is peace and security within a society. Allah says, but whoever repents after his wrongdoing and reforms, indeed Allah will turn to him in forgiveness. Indeed Allah is forgiving and merciful. Alhamdulillah. Do you not know that to Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth? He punishes whom he wills and forgives whom he wills, and Allah is over all things competent. So just in case we were wondering about this punishment, Allah says, do you not know that to Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth? He punishes whom He wills and forgives whom He wills, and Allah is over all things competent. Ya ayyuhar rasulu, O Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let them not grieve you who hasten into disbelief of those who say, we believe with their mouths, but their hearts believe not. And from among the Jews. So Allah says, do not let the munafiqeen, the hypocrites and the Jews grieve you. They are avid listeners to falsehood, listening to another people who have not come to you. Meaning some people who had not attended the Prophet's gatherings or heard his words, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they are really interested in negative speech. They want to listen to falsehood. They're attracted to that. They are not attracted to the truth. Allah says they distort words beyond their proper places, meaning usages, saying, if you are given this, for example, take it. But if you are not given it, then beware. Meaning only accept parts of the religion, part of the teachings of the Prophet that are acceptable to you if they align with certain values or ideas that we have. But if he says otherwise, then do not accept it. Subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given a religion that was complete and pure and perfect. And yet the people who were hypocrites and Jews simply wanted to select what was acceptable to them. We have to question ourselves too. Do we do that? Do we only select and follow the ayat of the Quran or the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we are attracted to? And if we are taught something that we find very strange or unacceptable, then we just disregard it or find excuses not to follow it? Allah says, but he from whom Allah intends fitna, never will you possess power to do for him a thing against Allah. So this is a trial. If a person is attracted to falsehood instead of the truth, and they find the truth very difficult and unbearable, this is a trial from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning this is misbelief, misconception, or self-delusion. These are result of one's own refusal for the truth. Allah says, those are the ones for whom Allah does not intend to purify their hearts. For them in this world is disgrace, and for them in the hereafter is a great punishment. They are avid listeners to falsehood, Allah says again, devourers of what is unlawful. So if they come to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, judge between them or turn away from them. And if you turn away from them, never will they harm you at all. And if you judge, judge between them with justice. Indeed, Allah loves those who act justly. So despite the fact that you know they are hypocrites, despite the fact that you know that they would rather listen to falsehood, Allah says, judge between them with justice. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ Allah loves the doers of justice, the practices of justice. But how is it that they come to you for judgment while they have the Torah in which is a judgment of Allah? Then they turn away even after that. But those are not in fact believers. Indeed, we sent down the Torah in which was guidance and light. It also had Nur. فِيهَا هُدًى وَنُورٍ The prophets who submitted to Allah judged by it for the Jews, as did the rabbis and scholars, by that with which they were entrusted of the scripture of Allah, and they were witnesses thereto. So do not fear the people, but fear me, and do not exchange my verses for a small price. And whoever does not judge by what Allah has revealed, then it is those who are the disbelievers. This is a great warning. One must say things the way they are, the way Allah has revealed it in the Quran, the way Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught. Allah says, do not fear people. Don't change the ayat of Allah for a small price for worldly gain, like the Bani Israel. Do not give incorrect fatawas knowing what you are doing. Do not ever fall under the pressure of people. It is a great responsibility. To be entrusted with the book of Allah, it is a great responsibility. Allah says, if someone who teaches the book of Allah, if someone who gives rulings according to the book of Allah, but fears people and change what is the reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that it is those who are the disbelievers. Allah says, and whoever does not judge by what Allah has revealed, then it is those who are the disbelievers. Subhanallah. And we ordained for them therein a life for a life, an eye for an eye, a nose for a nose, an ear for an ear, a tooth for a tooth, and for wounds is legal retribution. This is exactly what is in the Quran. But the Bani Israel, their ulama, their scholars would change it. If a poor person was killed by a rich man, the rich man would be let free. And often, when capital punishment was proven, they would simply exchange it for fidya or ransom, even though the victim's family would not like it. However, Allah says next, but whoever gives up his right as charity, it is an expiation for him. Meaning that the victim's family gives up the right of capital punishment, it actually expiates sins when we forgive other people. And this is a very great thing to forgive. It expiates the sins of the family member. Allah says again, and whoever does not judge by what Allah has revealed, then it is those who are the wrongdoers, meaning they are the ones who are unjust. And we sent, following their footsteps, Jesus, the son of Mary, confirming that which came before them in the Torah, and we gave him the gospel in which there was guidance and light, and confirming that which preceded it of the Torah as guidance and instruction for the righteous. So Allah praises the Torah and he praises the gospel in the Quran. Allah says both of them contained light, both of them contained guidance. So Allah says, and let the people of the gospel judge by what Allah has revealed therein. And whoever does not judge by what Allah has revealed, then it is those who are the defiantly disobedient. Every nation must judge according to the laws that were given to them. The reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned these ayat is because he is calling them out. In actuality, they do not judge according to the books they already have in their hands. Allah then talks about the Quran. And we have revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the book, meaning the Quran, in truth, confirming that which preceded it of the scripture and as a criterion over it, meaning that now the Quran is a criterion to judge the other books. It supersedes the other books. It abrogates the other books. Allah says, so judge between them by what Allah has revealed. And do not follow their inclinations away from what has come to you of the truth. Do not let the people of the book change your religion. Do not let the people of the book change the way you practice your religion. Allah says to each of you, we prescribed a law and a method. Shir'atan wa minhaja. The core teachings of Islam have never changed, but each nation had its own laws to follow, its own methodology, and that also came from Allah. Allah says, had Allah willed, He would have made you one nation, meaning united in religion. But He intended to test you in what He has given you. So raise to all that is good. What is the most important thing? That we find out what is the best and we run toward it. We race toward it. To Allah is your return altogether, and He will then inform you concerning that over which you used to differ. Why race? Because we have a limited time. And judge, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, between them by what Allah has revealed, and do not follow their inclinations, and beware of them, lest they tempt you away from some of what Allah has revealed to you. Is that not true? Is that not the case even today? That the people of the book try to pressurize Muslims into compromising their religion, compromising our values, compromising our principles, compromising the rulings of Allah. Allah says, and if they turn away, then know that Allah only intends to afflict them with some of their own sins, meaning if they are turning away from the truth, then they have earned it. And indeed, many among the people are defiantly disobedient. Then is it the judgment of the time of ignorance they desire? If they don't like the Quran, if they do not like Islam, then what other religion do they want? Do they want the religion of the Jahiliya Arabs? Allah says, but who is better than Allah in judgment for a people who are certain in faith?